Turn for a moment, will you please, to the book of Job, chapter 22. Not all of the advice given to Job by his three friends was good advice. But a fellow named Eliphaz came through with some choice counsel in Job 22, in verse 22. Job 22:22. Eliphaz said, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart." Job, listen to what God has to say, and then lay up his words in your heart. Now, what's it mean to lay up words in one's heart? When we say we know something by heart, we usually mean that we've memorized it. We've firmly fixed it in our mind. But laying up God's word in our hearts, I think, goes beyond just memorizing words. It means assimilating the truth of those words into the storehouse of our knowledge. And more than that, it means appropriating it to the totality of our lives. Making it a part of us, building it into our lives. Lay up his word in thine heart. Now that's exactly what God wants us to do with his word. Assimilate it into our storehouse of knowledge, appropriate it into the totality of living. God promises some great benefits for those who will lay up his word in their hearts. As we begin to read the scriptures and study them, we learn that God holds out some tremendous promises for people who are willing to do what Eliphaz told Job to do. Lay up God's words in their hearts. I want to list some of these promises tonight. And I want to list them as a means of encouragement to you to memorize the word of God and integrate it into the totality of your life. It's great to come week after week, Sunday school and church, and hear the word of God taught and begin to understand some of these great truths, but that's only part of what God wants us to do. He wants us to store it in our minds and integrate it into our lives. That's laying it up in our hearts. I'd like to share six things with you that laying up the word of God in your heart will do for you. When we get done tonight, I hope every one of us will say, if God's willing to do all those things as a result of my laying up his word in my heart, then with his help, I'm going to do it. Number one, the word in your heart will keep you from sin. Now, I realize that that's not going to appeal to everybody. Sin is fun. And some people enjoy it so much, they're willing to live with the consequences of it. Guilty consciences, inner turmoil, a rather meaningless existence, kind of groping for some kind of meaning in life and not finding, a lack of real fulfillment and satisfaction, destroyed relationships with other people, broken health, divine discipline, loss of reward, all those things are the consequences of sin. And some people love to sin so much they're willing to live with all those consequences. Broken fellowship with God and all that goes with it. But some people are smart enough to want something better than that. They want to have victory over sin and enjoy all the peace and blessing that comes with victory. How are we going to have it? The word in your heart will keep you from sin. Psalm 119, verse 11. You know it well. Look at it again, or jot it down, or tuck it away in your memory bank. But don't forget it. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word in the heart will keep you from sin. The reason it can is because the word reveals what sin is. And the word tells us the consequences of yielding to sin. What's going to happen when we do? The word tells us how we can avoid it. The word gives us inner strength for victory over it. The word has power to keep us from sin. The word tells us to flee. He says, O man of God, Paul's writing to Timothy, the word of God. O man of God, flee these things, but follow after righteousness and godliness and love and patience, other virtues. And when we get into the thick of the temptation, the Word of God begins to work in our hearts, and we begin to remember, if we've laid it up in our hearts, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And the Word helps us in those situations and gives us victory over sin. But you see, we're going to have to lay it up in our heart to be able to use it at the crucial moment. If we don't have it memorized, we don't have it at our fingertips, if we can't quote it, if God can't bring it to our mind's attention at that moment, then it's not going to do us much good. We've got to lay it up in our heart first. We hear a great deal about backsliding. It's a word that does not occur in the New Testament anywhere. But it is a word used to describe a carnal Christian. It's a term used of a person who has professed Christ as a Savior but shows little evidence of being born again. There's a disinterest in spiritual matters. There's sin in his life. What's the problem? How does a person get in that backslidden state? Well, he gets that way by not hiding the Word in his heart. Psalm 37:31 says, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. You want to keep from sliding? You want to keep from inching backward in your spiritual experience like a lot of people are doing? Then hide the Word in your heart. The Word in the heart will keep you from sin. Second, the Word in your heart will defend you against Satan. I believe Satan will do almost anything to keep a Christian from prayer and Bible memorization. Almost anything. I think it's like the parable of the sower that Jesus told. Remember, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air snatched it up. And when Jesus was telling us what that meant, he said that the wicked one comes and snatches away the word sown in their heart. God wants to plant the word in our heart, not just, you know, in our ears and then out the other one, in one and out the other. He wants to plant it in our heart. Satan doesn't want it there. The wicked one comes along and he snatches away the word sown in our heart. Lest we integrate it into our lives and begin to live in the light of it, and God use it to bless it and strengthen us and make us powerful Christians. He wants anything but that. Turn over, please, to 1 John chapter 2, where there were some believers who had God's Word in their hearts, and I want to show you what it did for them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. First John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, these young men were strong, and they had overcome the wicked one. How did that happen? Well, notice what else was true of their lives, and I think that's how it happened. The word of God was abiding in them. Now, the heart's not mentioned there, but it's the same idea. When the Word of God abides in us, when we lay it up in our hearts, then God can use us to make us strong against the attacks of the wicked one. You young men are strong, John says, because you've got the Word of God abiding in you. Would God that every young man in this room this morning, or this evening, would be able to have that characterize his life. You're strong because the Word of God abides in you. Some young men have had a good dose of the Word this week in our camping program. Thank God for what he did in the lives of our kids this week. But young people, and we thank God for you. We appreciate you. And we thank the Lord and you for being so cooperative in this change of seating, too. I don't know if you know, folks notice or not, but the young people are right down here front and center now. We appreciate that. We thank you. But more than anything else, what we pray for your lives is that you will be strong because the Word of God abides in you. Lay it up in your heart. You say, oh, memorization is for little kids. We earned our red Bible when we were little kids. No. There's never a time when we ought to stop laying up the Word of God in our hearts. It makes us strong and defends us against Satan. Some Christians are sitting ducks for Satan's potshot. He gets them down over every little thing. He gets them off the track with every wind of false doctrine. Why? Because they haven't hidden the Word in their heart. Just gone in one ear and out the other. The Lord Jesus set the pace for us in dealing with the devil. He told us how to do it. When the devil accosted him on three occasions in the wilderness, every time Jesus answered, "It is written," and he quoted some scripture. That's how he fought the devil, with the Word. Now you can't do that, young people or older folks. Makes no difference. You can't combat Satan with the Word unless you have it memorized, unless you have it in your heart. Now a lot of Christians think they can, and Satan begins to attack them, and temptations come, and they say, "Hey, wait a minute now, Satan, there's a verse somewhere in here about that, you know. See, where was that? Maybe I better call the pastor, maybe he can find it, you know. Somewhere in here there's a verse on that." Listen, friend, if you want to use the Word to defend against Satan, you better know where it is. And you better be able to have it on the tip of your tongue. Jesus did. And that's how he warded off the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Word in your heart will defend against Satan. Third, the Word in your heart will direct you through life. And I'd like you to turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We were here not too long ago in our Christian family series. Let's look at it again. Proverbs 6:20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." What are those father's commandments and laws of mother? Well, I think that's instructions from father and mother, but specifically instruction in the Word. "Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You want to really live? You want direction through life? Then bind the Word of God into your very heart and soul. Parents, one of the finest things we can do for our children is to encourage them and assist them to memorize the Word of God. If we want them to fly right when they leave our roof, build the Word into their lives. God's Word has power to keep them in the right way. Turn over to Psalm 119. There are a number of verses in that psalm on this very same subject. We all know Psalm 119, 105. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It provides direction. Psalm 119, 130. "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The Word of God gives light and guidance. Direction, you see. It will provide direction through life. Turn to verse 98. "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." The Word gives wisdom. Wisdom. That's what we need to find direction through life, divine wisdom. Where do we get it? We get it in the Word. It provides the basic principles for making proper decisions. It helps us find God's will for our lives. But it can't help you if you don't know it. And sometimes it's too late when it's time for the decision to be made. We need to build the Word into our hearts and souls and minds now, so that when the decision faces us, the principles of God's Word are in our computer minds. And they've already programmed us to decide according to the will of God and in accord with his principles. Now is the time to begin programming the computer, hiding the Word in our hearts. The Word will keep you from sin. The Word will defend against Satan. The Word will direct you through life. Fourth, the Word will add blessing to living. Now this is a great promise, and it's found all the way through the scriptures, and I'd like to begin in Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Same thing spoken of in Deuteronomy 6. Verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates. Now watch. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. With the blessing of God upon your life, lay up his word in your heart. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God's word to General Joshua before the invasion of the land. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, when the word is built into our hearts so that we can meditate on it, God promises success. Prosperity and good success. A lot of people trying to find success in life, and they're trying to find it many different ways. You go down to the secular bookstore and buy 24 books on how to be successful. Not one of them will tell you God's formula for success, which means every one of them falls short. God's formula is lay up his word in your heart and meditate on it. And he'll prosper you and give you good success. That's what he promises. And that's not the only place he promises it. Turn over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed, happy is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, stability, planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season, productivity. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosperity. For what? For delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on it day and night. That's God's inviolable promise. Turn over to the New Testament. Those of you who are saying, oh yeah, but that's an Old Testament promise. Let's get it from the New. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whosoever stoopeth down and looketh carefully, that's the idea in the word, James 1:25. Whosoever stoopeth down and looketh carefully into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You'll look carefully into God's word, build it into your life, so integrate it into your way of living that you live in the light of it. God promises that his blessing will be upon you. Now the only way we can do that is to first of all memorize it, and then meditate on it. And for that practice, God promises success, prosperity, and blessing. I would say that's too good to pass up. Success, prosperity, and the blessing of God. Don't you want that? I mean, that's almost too good to pass up. Yet a lot of people are passing it up. Many people are going to go out of this room tonight and pass up God's promise to blessing, prosperity, and success. I can't believe that. That's almost incredible. But a lot of people will. And yet, there it is in the Word of God. Meditate on His Word, continue in it, practice it, and God's blessing will be upon your life. Jeremiah discovered that. He said one day, thy words were found, and I didn't sin. Oh, I just gobbled up the word, Jeremiah said. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my soul. Young people are looking for satisfaction in strange places in our day. And they find that most of those are dead-end streets. Real satisfaction is in an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ through His Word. Young people, I encourage you to get into the Word, to lay it up in your heart. Memorize it. Think about it. Meditate on it. God promises blessing, prosperity, and success. You just can't beat that. Fifth, the Word in your heart will assure answered prayer. Turn to John 15, please. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a tremendous promise. God says if you abide in him, you walk in fellowship with him, and if his words abide in you, that's the idea of laying it up in your heart, memorizing it, living in the light of it, integrating it into the totality of your very being and your way of life. If the word of the Lord abide in you, Jesus says you'll ask anything you will, and it will be done unto you. Some Christians get all upset because God doesn't answer their prayers. I talk to them, many of them, oftentimes. I prayed and prayed, and God's not answering my prayer. Well, maybe they've not begun to hide God's word in their heart. Because here's the condition for answered prayer. His word abiding in us. You say, well, what in the world difference does that make? I mean, what's the relationship between the word abiding in me and answered prayer? Well, let me explain that to you. See, to know God's word is to be able to think God's thoughts after him. And to be able to ask for things that we know are in accord with his will, because we know his thoughts. They're permeating our minds. And when we ask according to his will, what we know to be his will according to the word, he has to answer. That's the kind of a God he is. So the truth remains. If his words abide in you, you can ask anything you want. Because you only want what he wants. And he'll give it to you. The word in your heart will assure answered prayer. Six, the word in your heart will drive you to witness. Jeremiah had the word in his heart. We just quoted a verse that said so. But I want you to turn back to Jeremiah chapter 20, please. The verse I quoted was in Jeremiah 15, 16. The word became the joy and rejoicing of Jeremiah's heart. So he had it in his heart. He ate it, that is figuratively speaking. He assimilated it. He appropriated it. Became the joy and rejoicing of his heart. But everybody else didn't appreciate the word of God that Jeremiah had in his heart. As a matter of fact, some folks got downright upset about it when Jeremiah shared the word of God with them. They mocked him. They derided him daily, he says in verse 7. Everyone mocketh me. So Jeremiah decides, well, okay, if they don't want the word, if they want to deride and mock the word and me when I give them the word, then I'm not going to talk about the word anymore. Verse 9. Then I say, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to quit talking about the word of God, because all they're doing is laughing at me. But look at verse 9, will you? The rest of the verse. But his word was in mine heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not refrain. Say, you want to be a more effective witness? Start memorizing the word of God, laying it up in your heart, meditating on it, weaving it into the very fiber of your being. You won't be able to keep your mouth shut. You'll have to witness. You may decide, I'm not going to say anything today, but you will. Because the word, as it was with Jeremiah, will be burning in your bones and you will not be able to refrain. It will drive you to share the word with others. The word in your heart will help motivate you to witness. Now look at all this that the word in our hearts will do. Will keep us from sin, will defend us against Satan, will direct us through life, will add blessing to living, will assure answered prayer, and will drive us to witness. Now, if you really know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would covet all those things. And that's really too good to miss. How could we not want all that for our lives? And God promises it all for laying up the word in our hearts. Oh, I know there's some of you ready to object. I'm not a mind reader, but I've been through this before. I don't want to be one of those people with a head full of Bible knowledge and no zeal for Jesus Christ or love for souls. I know those people, their heads are filled with verses they can quote and doctrines they can explain, but they're proud over their knowledge and they haven't begun to put it into use. And it's just dead orthodoxy. Well, now, I admit there is a danger there. I know people like that, as you do, who have a head full of knowledge and haven't even begun to live any of it yet. That's a shame. But the alternative isn't ignorance of the Word of God or the doctrines of the Scripture. The alternative is putting the Word to work in our lives, memorizing it, meditating on it, building it into our lives, and then obeying it. Don't let this satanic rationalization keep you from the blessing. The blessing is too great to miss. I'll bet there's some who are saying, I can't memorize. I'm too old. Well, after you pass a certain age, you just can't remember anything anymore. I find some of those same people who can't memorize Scripture can quote batting averages from 35 years ago. That's pretty good, you know. I find some other people say they can't memorize Scripture who can repeat gossip verbatim. I mean, they don't miss a word of it. How come? Maybe we can do what we want to do. And when we really decide that this is what God wants us to do and all these blessings are attached to it, then we're going to get at it. We're going to begin laying it up in our hearts, building it into our lives, and enjoying all the blessing God has for us through it. Lay up His Word in thine heart. Let's determine with David tonight, as he said in Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Maybe it's time for all of us to get involved in some kind of a systematic Bible memorization program where a verse a week or some such goal is realized in our lives so that we can meditate on it and enjoy all the blessings that God has for us through His word. Friend, the Word is our only hope for eternity. Maybe you slipped into this service tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Word of God is your only hope of eternity. We would invite you to accept that Word, what it says about your own soul's condition, that you're a sinner, and what it says about Christ paying for your sin on that cross, and then personally invite Him to be your Savior. Trust Him as your sin bearer. Won't you do that tonight? Begin living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We pray that you'll use this simple exhortation from the Word, about the Word, to challenge us to lay that word up in our hearts. Lord, help us not to miss all that you have for us through this simple means. We pray that your blessing will be upon us as you promised. For Jesus' sake, amen.